As another school year looms, there have been some mixed signals about the health of the student apartment business in Normal. Landlords recently resolved a long-running dispute over their property taxes, saying they were too high, and some, but not all, objected to the new recycling ordinance, saying it'll raise rents. At the same time, three new apartment buildings near ISU's campus are weeks away from opening, a sign at least someone is making a buck. To sort it out, I spoke with landlords, developers, students, and Normal town officials about what led to the student apartment boom and why it may soon be over.
Morgan Anderson is a junior nursing major at Illinois State University. One of her dreams for senior year is to live at the Lodge, the massive apartment complex on Willow Street that, from the outside, looks like where multimillionaires would spend the night after going skiing.
Like, that would be so cool. But then again, like, reality kind of hits, but that's way too much money.
That's too pricey for Anderson, who works and has loans to pay her own way through school. Instead, she's in a more modest townhome with three other students, paying $615 a month. Even that's a stretch. When you ask Anderson about the Lodge, with its granite countertops, guest bathrooms, pools, hot tub, she doesn't sound resentful about not living there or the high rent.
I mean, it is expensive, but it's worth it to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people feel that way too, just to have your own place and be on your own. I don't know, a nice feeling.
The off-campus student housing business has changed drastically in the last decade, when ISU closed and then demolished two giant dorms and pushed 1,500 students into the private sector. Landlords, many of them developers themselves, have responded by building fancier and fancier apartments, trying to meet the demands of a modern college student.
That's continued this summer as builders put the finishing touches on three new apartment buildings surrounding ISU. The Summit on Dry Grove Street replaced two older buildings that had only four units each. Stadium suites will have 24 units, 84 beds, where a demolished gas station once stood across from ISU's Hancock Stadium. And the biggest project is the $18 million expansion of the Lodge, adding 263 beds to the 300 that were already there.
It's been like that year after year. Townwide, Normal has seen 59 new apartment buildings with over 1,000 units built over the last decade, many for ISU. 20 years ago, 40% of undergraduate ISU students lived on campus. Now it's about 31%. There are signs that the new construction boom may soon be over, including the possibility of more on-campus university housing at ISU. Andy Netzer is general manager and managing broker at Young America Realty, the largest student landlord in Normal.
With this project and a couple others, we're probably at saturation point where it's the supply and demand is probably shifted a little, and I think for the next couple of years you'll see not a lot of new construction coming on. And if we did more of this, we'd be doing it out. We'd be creating our own vacancy.
I toured the Lodge construction site with Netzer a couple of weeks ago. He showed it off like a proud father. The units have one bathroom for each tenant, plus one for the guests. There are stainless steel appliances, granite counters, and stained cabinets in the kitchen. The nicest unit has a spacious balcony overlooking the pool and hot tub. Inside, an antler chandelier hangs from vaulted ceilings with exposed wood and track lighting.
We're expecting that some five-year-old in the suburbs of Chicago may be occupying this in 15 years. And what kind of expectations is that person going to have? For what kind of home did they grow up in? Did they have granite counters in their kitchen? Did they have their own bathroom? And I think as we see a trend line increasing of what students are used to and what they're expecting, we want to meet that market, not just for today, but for the future.
All that comes at a cost. Rent is between $700 and $1,000 a person. Netzer says it's the top of the market.
A lot of pricing, the Young America portfolio does look at, well, what's the pricing of the Lodge, and everything then can kind of tier down from there.
Oh, okay, so the Lodge is sort of a market setter in that respect.
Right. Nothing else on campus can probably expect to command higher rents than here. So, and nor can they increase rent over time. Could they increase rents if the Lodge is not increasing rents? And if ever the Lodge is decreasing rents, so they should take a hard look at decreasing their own rents.
Netzer says they're not having any problem finding students who want to pay that higher rent for more amenities. Quite the opposite. The new Lodge, which is co-owned by Young America owner Ralph Endress, has been fully leased since October 2017.
We also see that the appetite for our most economy properties is falling. So when we hear people say there's just, you know, this Lodge is incredible, but who can afford all that, and they're going to run out of affordable housing for people, we really don't see that problem. What we see is we've got too much of the affordable and not enough demand for it. So the softest part of our portfolio is the apartments with the least amenities, with four bedrooms and only one bathroom, with no dishwasher. And some of those can be modified, but we cannot very easily add bathrooms. And where we can, we have been. We're remodeling a building this summer also, and we have been, had a history of, you know, one or two buildings every summer, trying to add bathrooms where we can and overhaul them and bring them up in terms of amenities.
Morgan Anderson, the nursing major, is also the Secretary of College Affordability for ISU's Student Government Association. She says it's hard to find a nice place to live for less than $550 a month.
I think it's really overpriced. Just from my one townhome, they make like $2,400 from us every month. And like that's crazy because it's only a four-bedroom apartment. It's not like anything big or special. And I know people that pay rent, like not in a college town, it's so much cheaper and you can get so much more for your money.
Property owners say they're responding to demand. Ed Souter had owned the two apartment buildings on Dry Grove Street since the late 1970s. That's where the Summit is going up.
And they were probably built in the early 50s, maybe late 40s. And we were having a little harder time renting them. Their amenities were limited. The rooms were small. Bathrooms were antiquated. And we would have had to done a major rehab. Thousands and thousands of dollars. And we thought, do we want to put that kind of money into an old building that's kind of outdated and didn't look quite right? So then we elected to bite the bullet, tear them down, level the lot, and then start from scratch and build a new building.
That's how the Summit was born. The $4 million-plus building opens next month. It'll command higher rents, between $725 and $1,100, in part due to its proximity to campus. Its mountain theme, with stairwells named after Mount Everest and Denali, was inspired by Souter's own passion for the outdoors. So how did Souter know how to price the rents?
Extensive market research on what the vacancy rate is with various levels of apartments that have offer various services or various sizes and convenience. We see what's renting, what's not. I guess I just have to say it's something that's comes from experience.
The town of Normal sets certain parameters for new apartment construction, such as parking, setbacks, how tall it can be. But nothing in the town code is dictating that places like the Lodge have to have a clubhouse with stone fireplaces, a leather couch, and a pool table.
And those are decisions, again, that are completely on the private side.
That's town planner Mercy Davison.
The expense level is tied to the amenities that are being provided on these properties that are far beyond what the code would require.
In addition to new construction, Normal has also seen many landlords embark on costly summer remodeling projects to make their older buildings more attractive to students. It's according to Greg Tremmel, inspections director from Normal. He says they're reworking kitchens and changing four-bedroom, one-bathroom units into three-bedroom, two-bathroom units with laundry.
They continually are modifying these units to try and avoid having a four-bedroom sit with just two people renting in it. So I give them a little bit of credit for trying to stay on top of that.
Davison says landlords are even sprucing up the exterior because they know that curb appeal is huge with parents.
A lot of parents are a lot more involved in where their students live than like back when we were in college, and my parents literally had nothing to do with my picking where I was going to live. But now you have parents that come through and they want to see something that looks attractive, that looks well maintained. And so, they want to have security. So that's not cheap, you know, to go reclad part of your building in brick. That's happened a couple times. Not the whole building, but they'll put some accents in, change out some windows, spruce up the landscaping. So that's all to the benefit of the whole community because it's great when things look better.
ISU has a good relationship with the major landlords. That's according to Levester Johnson, Vice President for Student Affairs at ISU. Biggest ones, by the way, are Young America, First Sight, and Sammy. Netzer says Young America has around 50% of market share with 4,600 beds. Still, Johnson says affordability remains a critical issue across higher education. For on-campus housing and dining, for which ISU controls the price, the university wants to offer competitive amenities that impress prospective and current students, like the new Watterson Towers Dining Center expansion.
So all of those things have to be considered and in the mix, but guess what? We have to provide it at an affordable type of rate. So definitely we are concerned about rate issues for on-campus housing, as well as what students are paying off-campus. There are some students who, at some point in their developmental process, you know what? They're done with staying on campus here, and they might want to live within the neighborhood. So we would want to make sure that that's affordable for them as well.
The foundation of the off-campus apartment boom is ISU's decision in the 2000s to decommission those older dorms, partly because it would have been too expensive to retrofit them with fire sprinklers, also to make room for a new student fitness center. Now there are signs ISU may reverse course and move toward more on-campus housing, starting with a study.
We have taken a look over the last year and a half, I believe, at where is our current housing stock, both existing facilities, and what might be missing within that mix.
That comes against a backdrop of strong enrollment and the possibility of more as Illinois' regional universities bleed students and ISU bolsters its own international recruitment. ISU requires freshmen and sophomores to live on campus, but today there's not enough room for everyone. Many sophomores, like Morgan Anderson was, get exemptions to live off campus their second year. Johnson says there are educational benefits of living on campus.
Oh, well, we definitely believe it plays directly into the retention of our students. Any longitudinal study that you will have within higher education definitely demonstrates that the more proximity students have to other campus resources, like number one is other upperclass students who know all the unwritten rules and policies and things in order to be successful within the collegiate environment, as well as then the number two reason, faculty having access to great faculty and advisors as to, you know, supporting them academically and otherwise. So the more proximity you have to those resources, the greater your retention rate is going to be on your campus. So residential campuses like Illinois State University's do extremely well when you have a critical mass of housing and bed space on campus or adjacent.
That new study found ISU lacks enough on-campus housing for sophomores. With the exception of the six-year-old Cardinal Court on Gregory Street, ISU's on-campus housing is mostly traditional shared dorm rooms and shared restrooms inside of towers. There are no apartment-style or pod-style with shared living space options. So does all this mean that ISU is moving toward more housing on campus?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take those recommendations seriously, have conversations again with senior administration within the institution, as well as our trustees, gain some feedback about maybe going to that next level of feasibility and seeing what would be a business plan for such. Where would such type of housing be?
There are several options for where it could be. ISU acquired the site of a now-shuttered Normal Fire Station on Adelaide Street in 2015, possibly to accommodate expansion at Cardinal Court. A ton of Normal officials have also heard rumblings about the now-vacant land east of Main Street near Avanti's, where the South Campus dorms stood until they were demolished in 2012. That would have major implications for local landlords. Here's Andy Netzer from Young America.
It's a concern. We watch that. I say to a lot of people that this is the world's simplest supply and demand economic loop. You just have the supply of students and the available off-campus beds, and it's a one-to-one translation.
There are parallels to 2010, when ISU announced it was building Cardinal Court. Landlord developers criticized ISU then, saying it backtracked on its plans to get out of the housing business. In reality, Cardinal Court only replaced around 900 of the beds that were lost by the dorm demolitions. Landlords just waged a very public fight over property taxes. Young America, First Sight, and other owners objected when Normal Township's assessor revalued 57 different apartments, raising their assessed values and therefore their property tax bills. Last year, they reached a deal with Unit 5, the largest beneficiary of those taxes, to resolve the dispute. But that agreement allows for reevaluation if ISU enrollment rises or falls by more than 1,100 students. Ed Sauter, the owner of the Summit, says it's still a good business to be in. He lives in Roanoke and is part owner of a John Deere equipment dealership. If something goes wrong at one of his investment properties in Normal, he knows about it right away. More control, he says, than if he'd sent his money to Wall Street.
It's just a slow process of discipline, of making your payments, of renting, of doing maintenance. It's not a home run, but it's just a series of base hits.
That's developer Ed Sauter. Move-in begins at ISU the week of August 13th. That's just 3 weeks away. You can take a closer look at the student apartment business with two interactive graphics at our website, wglt.org. This is Sound Ideas.